Over the last 11 College World Series, the best two out of three series, or, you know, we look at that since we've had this format, but 10 out of the last 11 years featured at least one team from the SEC.
Yeah, and I mean, they're among the better ones here. You know, if you look at what a lot of people think the favorites are, you know, Vegas sees Vanderbilt and Arkansas as the favorites, at least the odds that I've seen. Those are two SEC teams.
Actually, the top three teams are all from the SEC. Vanderbilt and Arkansas 4-1, and Mississippi State 5-1.
Yeah, and a lot of people I've talked to here, when you kind of meander around the dugouts and BP, and it's media day essentially, where a lot of media members are wandering around on the field, and that's that third one is a lot of the pick that a lot of people here see is Mississippi State. Mississippi State is, they have the SEC pedigree. They've been here quite a bit. This is normal to their players. They got a ton of talent. You know, I think if you had to poll media members here, it'd probably be Vandy and Mississippi State back and forth, one or two, and then Arkansas after that. I mean, those are SEC teams. You know, this morning it was in the press conferences. It's funny because the Omaha locals will kind of adopt a team,
right?
And you know, they've kind of adopted. It looks like Auburn is the one that they're going to lock because Auburn is the newcomer. They're the underdog. Make some others because of Mike Martin, the Florida State coach, after 40 years is finally retiring. They're rooting for him, and so they're rooting for Florida State. So those are the, I guess, the local favorites. But if you want to say who has the best chance of winning the thing, it's probably an SEC team.
I go back to, you know, what you're bringing up as far as how Omaha adopts a team. I mean, you know, you could easily see where they may even adopt a Michigan team that, you know, played in the Big Ten tournament, which was also played right there in that same facility. But Florida State with Mike Martin, has it been much of a story? You know, certainly Auburn, a new face as far as at Omaha, a team that we're not accustomed to seeing there. But with regards to the storyline, the fact that they're playing for now the late voice of the Auburn Tigers, Rod Bramlett, I know that Auburn's going to be honoring him with the initials RB on the back of their helmets. But has the Omaha, you know, faithful yet caught on to what Auburn is playing for from an emotional standpoint?
Well, I think they will as the deeper they go. You know, it's similar to like Vandy in 2014 was adopted by this town because they came to Omaha thinking, okay, well this team may win a game or so, but they're not going to be here that long, and they stayed longer and longer and longer in advance, and then the town kind of took Vandy on as its team. I think those storylines will be adopted as the teams get deeper. You know, you don't want to cling to a team that's going to go home quickly. And by the numbers, I don't think Auburn's going to be here long, but they certainly could do like that Vanderbilt team did in 2014 and just kind of be on a mission. You know, speaking of which, that's kind of the language that I heard a lot of in the Vanderbilt locker room today. You know, we're on a mission. This is a journey that we created. We're going to finish it. These types of quotes that you get a lot from Vandy players. It's very much a sense on Vandy's team that they've been here a lot. You know, none of these current players have been to Omaha. Last time Vandy got here was 2015. All these players were in high school at that time. But you couldn't tell that. When I went around the locker room, it was this, I won't say entitlement, because entitlement is a negative, has negative connotations, but it had something like that feel. Of you know, J.J. Blade said, you know, we shouldn't be in awe of being here. We earned being here. We won the games to get here. This is where we're supposed to be. And I think a lot of his teammates have kind of followed that lead. Vandy is pretty confident, but I think the better word would be comfortable. They're perfectly fine being here, and it didn't seem like there was any tension at all on this team.
You know, the ironic part of this, if Omaha is actually pulling for teams that have not made a lot of appearances as far as the College World Series, you know who they should be pulling for? Texas Tech to win Bracket 1 and Vanderbilt to win Bracket 2. Because of the eight teams, those two teams have the fewest appearances in College World Series history of these eight.
But Louisville hasn't won.
Oh, I know, I know. But I'm just saying, as far as most appearances, Tech and Vanderbilt only four each. Auburn has five appearances along with Louisville. Michigan has been there eight times. Arkansas 10, Mississippi State 11, and then Florida State 23 times.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you categorize them. you know, what have you done for me lately?
Well, four out of the last 9 years, you have Vanderbilt there, so I can see where you're going with that.
Yeah, and you also see, I mean, I see a lot of kids, and some of the kids tweet me of like, hey, you're back, or they're back, or whatever. And these are kids that were 5 or 6 years old when Vandy came here a few years ago and won it and then finished runner-up the next year. And now they're back, and it's still the same kids. I mean, I saw some of the little photo albums that, and that's what they are. They're photos of Vandy players that they printed off, and they will hold them down over the dugout and have players sign them. And it's the same thing. And I think some of the same kids, just bigger kids now than there were a few years ago. So they remember Vandy as a powerhouse. They don't, you know, I don't think many people here sees Vandy as, you know, who is this guy?
You know, for a while there this week, and I was going back to what happened in, as far as Kumar Rocker, not the no-hitter, not the 19 strikeouts, not with the season on the line, but the composure he showed after facing his second batter on Saturday night, hitting him in the, not just hitting him, but hitting him in the face, and to regain that composure, to still throw a no-hitter and strike out a total of 19 guys. To me, there was a part of the reason why I really felt like that he had a chance to actually start on Sunday. It looks like now it's going to be Drake Fellows starting for Vandy, 12-1 on the year with a 4.15 ERA. But, you know, Kumar Rocker's performance last weekend probably made that decision even more difficult.
Yeah, I didn't see them switching that up just because I guess you could have made the case to some extent and said, well, Fellows has given up a lot of runs in about half of his last five or six starts. You don't want to start off like that. But, you know, Rocker's been good the last few starts, but he's had other moments this year where he just didn't have good control or good command. I don't think it was that. So I think there was a case you could make for that. I think there was a stronger case to stick with what they've had. It would have been an odd message to me to say, hey, we won 54 games to get here. We're the top seed that got here. Drake Fellows, we won every game he pitched in except for one. But we're going to change course and we're going to switch up everything that we've done and do something different because of what happened last weekend. I thought that would have been a very weird message for the team. And Tim Corbin has, you know, for a long time, not believed in changing up the rotation based on, you know, how a coach would maybe feel they would outsmart the situation. You know, for example, in a regional, even though you're playing a four seed, he likes to pitch as number one or whoever's coming up next in the rotation, not try to figure out how to reconfigure his rotation to fit the opponent. You just stay with what you've done and have faith that that's going to work out. And that's what he did. And when I talked to Drake Fellows today in the locker room, you know, he said, you know, this is a dream come true. This is what I've actually dreamed of, especially in high school, of pitching in Omaha, and now it's here. But he said, I can't treat it like that. So it's kind of this tough balance of living a fantasy but trying to seeing as kind of an everyday event. But that's what a lot of people have to do once they get to Omaha, especially for the first time.
We look at the strategy as far as regional play once we start the NCAA tournament, and that same strategy applies as far as the College World Series with this format now, you know, because basically, yeah, there's eight teams there, but the only thing you need to worry about is your particular bracket, just like a regional. It's so important to get the first one. If you get the first two, you're in the driver's seat. I look at the fact that Louisville, for example, when they won their regional earlier, you know, 2 weeks ago, the fact that they you know, they got into the loser's bracket. They had to play five games in their regional. They did win it, and then they swept East Carolina in their super regional. But, you know, a lot of these teams aren't built to the point where, from a pitching standpoint, they can have five solid performances to get to the best two out of three series. Now, yeah, Vanderbilt, on the other hand, Vanderbilt is a team, if they happen to get into that position, Vanderbilt is a team built that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Louisville could do that again. I think they have enough depth. I like their I like what their bullpen has done later in the year. You know, one bad start in any of these teams are going to be knocked back to where they don't want to be. Yeah, Vandy is built better for the front end of this tournament, even more so than the back end of the tournament, because it is set up as like a regional. If you have three, especially if you have four pitchers, you can stay alive in this thing a whole lot longer. And they have four good starters and a good bullpen, and they like their closer. So Vandy is in pretty good shape coming in. You know, if you look at Sunday's game, Louisville hadn't won a game in Omaha historically. So they need that get-over-the-hump game. And, you know, I was talking to the Louisville beat writer today, and I said, you know, we have to pick a team. And I said, I'm picking Vandy because, you know, they're by the numbers the favorite. And he said the same. And I said, but I wouldn't pick the field over Vandy because there's so many good teams here. And he said the same. And I said, but, you know, picking the field against this pair, Vandy and Louisville, I'd have a harder time with that one because I think Louisville's pitching staff matches up fairly well with Vandy. I think their bats, even though it's a different kind of hitting team, has as much depth as Vandy. I mean, 1 through 9, Louisville doesn't have a bad spot in its order. The only difference is Louisville will move runners along. They'll manufacture runs where Vandy just hits the ball hard and a lot of power hitting, a lot of home runs. And actually, Louisville's way usually plays better well in this park. But somewhat similar team, somewhat similar talent. And if Louisville did get past Vandy, I could see them going all the way. If Vandy gets past Louisville, they'll be in the driver's seat. And,
right.
And, you know, it could be either one of those teams. It could be a couple others as well.
I totally agree. I would not take Vanderbilt over the field. But if you gave me Vanderbilt and Louisville, knowing that I'm going to be 1-0 after Sunday, I would take Vandy plus Louisville over the field. But, you know, the bottom line is it still comes down to all four of these teams. You know, there's one team especially I think has – this could work in their favor or it could work against them. Arkansas, so close to winning last year as far as the College World Series. If they struggle against Florida State, I think that run is going to be over because all of a sudden you get the past of what happened last season for all the guys that were on last year's squad. But with that said, the fact that they did walk off that field with a disappointment, kind of like what Virginia did in 2014 and came back and won the national title the next year against Vanderbilt, I think Arkansas can certainly all of a sudden go on a run just because of leaving last year with such a disappointment.
Yeah, and Arkansas reloaded. They lost quite a bit of last year's team, but that's the obvious storyline around them. That is what happened to you last year fueled this year. And it can kind of go either way. Again, a lot of that depends on probably what happens early. You know, it's real funny to see the kind of the momentum or the perceived momentum that each of these teams kind of have. You know, Auburn dream season. Wow, can you believe they get to Omaha and they're going to keep going? Or Florida State, they're playing for Mike Martin. This is going to be their year. Arkansas has got to come back and atone for what happened last year. Vandy's the best team here. You have so many storylines with each of these, and half of the storylines will be cut down in the first couple.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They just go away in a hurry, and all of a sudden the storyline is what happened in that first round game, and that will be that's going to be the same for Vandy if they lose. If they win, you're going to say, okay, then what is this, 26 out of 28 or whatever it is? They're just a machine that's going to run over everybody. If they lose, then suddenly it's Kumar Rocker save us again. And you'll have one of those two once Sunday's afternoon's game is over.
Now, we know that Vanderbilt's 30-3 in their last 33. I don't know if that's more impressive or, you know, what have you done for us lately? Florida State, 5-0 in bracket 1 in the NCAA tournament. Mississippi State so far, 5-0 in bracket 2. So the two hottest teams so far, still unbeaten as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned. But as of tomorrow morning, all 8 of these teams, 0-0.
Yep, and all of them are talented enough to win their bracket. I mean, you know, we talk about Auburn being a newcomer here. Well, they did play through the SEC, and that's, you know, that's like 8 eight or nine ranked teams. You know, Michigan probably is not as talented as the rest of the field or most of the rest of the field, but they're really good, and they've been hot late in the year. And there's not, you know, I was asking the Vandy players about being a favorite today, and you know you're going to get some of this, but I got a sincere feel from all of them. They're like, what is a favorite? I mean, this is 1 through 8. This is, there's, it's not like, you know, sometimes you say, well, there's not a bad team here. Well, there's only really, really, really good teams here.
Right.
And it's baseball. So if their pitcher is better than your pitcher on this day, then they're beating you. And that's why, you know, as much as we can analyze so much of this game, if Drake Fellows' slider is working on Sunday, Vandy probably wins. If it's not, and Louisville gets better pitching, then Vandy's probably going to lose. I don't, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't see Vandy coming out and, you know, beating anybody 12-3 or whatever. And it's in this type of setting, but also in this ballpark. It's not a ballpark where you're going to hit 5 home runs in a game. And so best pitcher is going to win, and Vandy has a pretty good pitcher going in. They'll have a pretty good pitcher every game. If he's owned, then I like their chances.